Merry Christmas from Gamia Baptist Church. I'm Mark Rader, senior pastor here, and I trust that this Christmas you will find hope in the birth of Jesus. 2020 has been a year filled with uncertainty, and we face a strong temptation to seek control to reestablish our sense of certainty. The birth of Jesus, however, offers little in the way of certainty, but plenty in terms of hope. This is the focus of our reflection this Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas. It's great to have you with us today, celebrating the birth of Jesus, celebrating the birth of hope. And it's actually hope that I want to take a little bit of time to reflect on this morning. You may be familiar with the story of Pandora's box. It's taken from Greek mythology. Pandora was a young woman gifted by the gods with all sorts of intelligence and ability and craftsmanship, and gifted with curiosity. And one of the gifts that she was given was a box that she was told she must not open. Now, I have no idea how you or I would have gone given a box that we could not open, but Pandora, with her insatiable curiosity, eventually came to the point where she felt she must look inside. And so she determined to crack the lid just a little bit, have a quick peek in order to kind of slake her thirst to know, and then close the box again. But as soon as the lid was cracked open even a bit, out poured all of these evils into the world. War and disease and plague and suffering. She tried to close the lid, but it was too late. All of these things, all these forces had been released into the world. But as Pandora is weeping at what she has done, she hears another sound in the bottom of the box. Stealing over to the box again, she lifts the lid, and there is something remaining in the bottom, and that is hope. And out flutters this little warm beam of light. In light of all that had been released, all these forces of evil and suffering in the world, the little thin beam of hope seems hardly enough to be able to deal with them. And yet, Pandora felt her own spirits lifted, because hope, however small, however delicate, was now in the world. And it's actually the delicacy of hope that I find so fascinating. Hope is never certain. It's always delicate. It's much like a spider's web. You've seen spider's webs. You probably walked through a few. And we know how easily broken they are. And yet, you've probably heard that spider silk is one of the strongest materials in the world. If we could figure out ways to make it into kind of thicker strands, we would have one of the strongest materials on the planet. It is that strong and yet so delicate. And it's delicate rather than fragile. Something that's fragile can crack and shatter. Hope, on the other hand, can bruise easily. It can be torn, and yet there's a strength and a resilience to it. And then this depiction of hope, this kind of delicate, easily overwhelmed but strong virtue has been found in lots of places. One of my favorite examples is Emily Bronte's poem entitled Hope, in which she describes hope as a false friend, as one who sat outside of her suffering, as someone who, if Emily Bronte were to try to catch her eye, would look away, as someone who sings gently while she is weeping, and yet if she stops to listen, ceases her song. And this is such a powerful example of precisely what hope is. Because if hope were certain, if hope were absolutely without any doubt associated with it, if it were something that we could certainly know for sure, it wouldn't be hope anymore, would it? It's something completely different. Or take George Frederick Watts' painting entitled Hope. It's an allegorical representation of hope, which I think, again, is profound in its depiction. Here we find this young woman hunched over on what looks to be a globe, blindfolded, and playing on a lyre that has only one string remaining, bending, straining to hear the one note of hope. And this painting is actually relatively well known. It was used by Martin Luther King Jr. in one of his sermons on hope and on disappointment in particular that he gave during the civil rights movement in the United States. He reflects there on the power of disappointment. He actually refers to the very end of Romans where Paul talks about desiring to visit them and then go on to Spain, but then reflects on the fact that Paul did indeed visit them in Rome, but only to be imprisoned. And he actually outlines three different ways that we can respond to the disappointments around us, to the frustrations around us. And again, in the context of the civil rights movement, you can imagine how powerful this would have been. He says, first of all, we can allow our frustrations to become bitterness, become anger and hatred, resulting in a hard heart to those around us. He said, alternatively, we can end up allowing our frustrations to lead to cynicism, where we just kind of cope by withdrawing from the problems themselves. Or thirdly, that we can end up with a sense of fatalism. We just resign ourselves to what's taking place and we don't make any decisions. And he says, all of those are flawed for obvious reasons. And what we need to be able to do is we need to be able to face our frustrations, look them square in the eye, and cling to hope. He references this painting at the very beginning of that sermon. It's probably about 30 years later that another African-American preacher in Chicago used that same painting in a different sermon context to talk about the audacity of hope. He reflects on the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But in this sermon, he talks about the audacity of hope. And sitting in his congregation was a young lawyer by the name of Barack Obama, who ended up taking the theme of hope from that sermon as the basis of his run for president. Hope, in all of its delicacy, hope in all of its strength, is something that is so worth reflecting on. And it's here, of course, that we come to the depiction of hope in the Christmas story. Because what's more hopeful than the birth of a baby? A tiny, fragile, delicate, helpless, and yet filled with potential, filled with a future. And we care for our children, not simply because we love them, but to see them achieve their potential. There is a hopefulness in the birth of a child. But in the birth of Jesus, it is so much more. There are astrological signs that tell us that this is more than just a baby born in a stable. There are royal gifts. There are fulfillments of prophecy. There are miraculous signs and wonders surrounding his birth itself. And yet, this hope, which seems so certain, I mean, the fulfillment of prophecies, signs in the stars, the arrival of strange guests with royal gifts, the appearance of angels and the celebration, it seems so certain. And yet, what are we presented with? A baby? Born to peasant parents in a stable or a cave behind an inn in a relatively unimportant town in a relatively unimportant part of the world. And that is the perfect, perfect demonstration of hope. There's almost nothing certain about the birth of Jesus. If we were confronted with a baby and told this is the hope of the world, that's delicate. And the story of Jesus doesn't change moving forward. That child becomes a man and enters into his full-time ministry with signs and wonders to rival anything else in all of the biblical literature. In all of the things that God had ever done for his people, what Jesus does is that much and more. It's remarkable. His ministry is marked by authoritative teaching like no one else has ever taught. He does and says things that are utterly remarkable, speaking of a new kingdom, of a new way of relating to God and to the divine, of relating to one another, of a new way to bring about change and renewal in the world. It is a message of hope, God with us. And how was that message received? Well, not with the certainty that we might expect. Some people are just amazed, but it doesn't actually get very deep into their hearts. Others are filled with doubt Some begin to follow, but then get confused and leave. Some are opposed, and ultimately Jesus is rejected. But for some, they found hope in Jesus. In the things that he said, in the things that he did, in who he was, they found hope and placed their hope in him. At the end of 2020, feels to me like we could all use a little bit of hope. But as I've been reflecting on the year that's been and the hope that we need, it's occurred to me that perhaps I might add a fourth category to Martin Luther King Jr.'s three. Not that I'd presume to be the kind of preacher that he was. But if we can respond to the frustrations of our world through becoming disappointed and angry, if we can withdraw in cold cynicism, if we can resign ourselves to what's taking place, I think a fourth option for us is that we pursue certainty through control. We pursue certainty through control. The more we can control of our lives, the more certain it feels and the less that we need hope. And what we end up doing is we substitute certainty for hope. But there are some pretty significant problems with that. Because first of all, certainty is far more rare than hope. To be truly certain, to be absolutely, positively certain, 100% guaranteed, is so rare. And to be in control is so impossible. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's that we are not nearly in as much control as we think we are. And if we no longer control the world around us, if we can no longer control stuff that takes place in our lives, how can we be certain? And I believe that in our culture, in our context, what 2020 has done is it has washed away that certainty. And now we are left wondering what to do. And for some of us, the temptation is to scramble back and try to get as much control and certainty as we can once again, but it's a dead end. Because certainty also does not give us much courage. Because if hope is delicate, certainty is fragile. It will break, it will shatter, and we cannot put it back together. Hope has resilience to it. It moves and it bends and it twists with what's taking place. Certainty only shatters. And there is no courage in what is certain. Because we know what's going to happen, we don't need courage. Hope requires courage. It requires us to be brave as we face what we are facing. And secondly, I don't believe that certainty gives us any grounds for empathy. Certainty has no room for doubt in ourselves or in others. It has no room for ambiguity, for incongruence, for anything that doesn't quite fit. There's no space for that. And I do wonder sometimes if our very black and white, very polarized world isn't actually because we look for certainty rather than hope. But hope feeds our empathy. As we are able to see the doubts of others, to recognize the ambiguity that we all experience, and to hold out the delicate nature of our hope. That requires courage, but is a much more healthy, helpful, and hopeful way to proceed in life. Some of you who are watching this today have already placed your hope in Jesus, which is wonderful. Christmas then becomes a celebration of all that we hope in, for the restoration and renewal of the world, for forgiveness, for peace, for wisdom, for guidance, for all that we need, for provision, for security. All of these are found in Jesus, but it requires courage to follow after him, because it's not nearly as certain as we sometimes would like it to be. If you have placed your hope in Jesus this Christmas, can I encourage you to demonstrate that hope in your courageous actions and in your empathy to those around you. And if you are watching this and you desperately need hope, if 2020 has washed away your certainty, if it's washed away the illusion that you were in control, and you find yourself with kind of no recourse, can I encourage you to listen to the hope that Jesus offers? Maybe it's as simple as beginning to read through the Gospels, the stories of Jesus. If you know someone who follows him, to ask them to read with you and together explore the hope that Jesus offers. This delicate but resilient hope. A hope that flutters out into the world with grand promises to stand against all that is not right. A hope that is found in the person of Jesus. And there's so much more to his story. There's so much more to his story than a miraculous birth and some camels and some wise men and some shepherds and a star. There's so much more to his story than the miracles that he performed or the things that he taught. There's so much more to his story, even beyond his death and resurrection. All of this forms the basis of our hope this Christmas. And my prayer for each and every one of you is that this Christmas in 2020, that you will find hope. Hope in the person of Jesus Christ. I pray that this Christmas you will choose to walk the path of hope rather than retreating to the fortress of certainty, and that you will find the courage and empathy to live in the flickering light of delicate hope in Jesus and his renewing and restoring work. Thanks so much for including us in your Christmas celebrations this year. Have a great Christmas, and we hope you join us again in the new year. Until then, Merry Christmas.